Yes. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. And children, you are dismissed to head down to your classes this morning. And my mom's put up with me for 44 years. I don't know how she did that. When I was little, and Joe, everything you shared up here this morning, I could absolutely amen and affirm from my perspective as well. So thankful to have a godly mother that made sure I got to church, even though when she dressed me for church in my church clothes, back then we had church clothes, and the problem with my church clothes is that I was just as active in my church clothes as I was in my normal clothes. And so I think after a while, Mom just gave up. Because after church every Sunday, it was time to play tackle football. And it didn't matter what clothes we had on. And so even the newest pants that she would put on me would come home the very second or maybe even first Sunday I had them on with big grass stains, sometimes rips and tears and all of those things. And after a while, that's just a little too much for the budget. And so, Mom, thanks for putting up with me for all these years, and happy Mother's Day. Caleb, thank you. A lot of what you shared this morning dovetails so fittingly into the portion of Scripture that we're in today as we continue our study through the book of Colossians. So very much appreciated your words and helping to grow our awareness in this very present and urgent need in our community and in Lancaster County and the surrounding counties as well. So thank you for that. We have a memory verse for today. It is May. If we can say it together, it is in the letter that we're studying together. It's in Colossians. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Very good. Thank you. As we opened chapter 3 last week of our letter, Paul started with a description of clothing that is no longer fitted for disciples who are seeking to faithfully reflect the character of Jesus in this world. And so what Paul did then is that he helped us to answer this question at the onset of chapter 3. This is the question that we explored last week together. With Christ as preeminent in both our collective and our individual lives, what are the kinds of attitudes and behaviors that are no longer properly fitting and needed to be put away? So just as a way to refresh our minds, we were able to broadly categorize these articles of clothing into bins related to both our personal and our congregational holiness. The first category included our physical interaction and engagement with one another, where Paul specifically addressed at the beginning of chapter 3, he talked about physical sins, specifically in the realm of sexual sins. And then the second category included our social and conversational interactions and engagements with one another. The way we talk to one another, the way we speak to one another, the way we speak about one another, all of these things are important. They all matter. And in both cases, our physical and our social lives have direct consequences related to the unity, to the wholeness, and the well-being of our individual and congregational lives. In both cases, the ill-fitted clothing of sin in both our sexual and conversational interactions are damaging to the witness and testimony of the church within our broader communities. In other words, when our congregations are physically mistreating one another and being inappropriate with one another, it has direct consequence on the witness of our congregation. When our congregation is disrupted and there's all kinds of slander and gossip and back-talking about one another within our communities, that has a negative influence on the witness and the testimony of our congregation and of Christ in our community. Today, then, we turn to clothing that is fitting and becoming of congregations and individuals who identify as followers of Jesus, seeking to be faithful as we compellingly and accurately reflect the character of Jesus in our daily lives. So if you have your Bibles, you want to go ahead and take them now. Turn them to Colossians chapter 3. Maybe you have a phone or a tablet and you want to turn that on and navigate to Colossians chapter 3. We're looking in verses 12 to 17 of Colossians 3 today. And when you get there, we are looking to answer the following question. Seeking to magnify Christ in both our collective and individual lives, what is the clothing needing to be put on that most accurately and compellingly reflects his character? So once you're there, would you stand with me for the reading of Scripture and prayer? Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. We recognize this, Lord, as not an individual activity, but a collective activity. We are here together as one body in Christ. As one body, you have called us here this morning from all of our different homes and all of our jobs and all of the lives that we live this week. And here we are together sharing life with one another in you. And through this activity of worship and singing and prayer and study, you are involved. And you're involved in a very active way as we open your word together. Your Holy Spirit is at work. He's at work even now, applying to each and every one of us exactly what we need through this text. Lord, we look at the word this morning. We know that you have picked out a new wardrobe for us to wear. But Father, we acknowledge that sometimes those articles of clothing that you've selected for us are very hard to wear and seem very countercultural in this world that you've placed us in. So we ask now as we study your text this morning that your Holy Spirit would be going before to challenge our minds, convict our hearts, and prepare us to live in this world with great effectiveness for your glory and for the love of those you've placed in our lives. And we want to thank you and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17. Paul writing to congregations in Colossae. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thank you. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. Paul begins this section of his letter by reminding us that we are among the chosen of God. Some versions say as God's chosen, others say as the elect of God. Paul's words remind us that this is what we share, one of the powerful realities that we share as a Christian community. Because of Jesus, the one who holds us together, we gather, even this morning, as those who are chosen by God. And not just chosen, but Paul says holy or set apart and dearly loved. Friends, these are powerful unifiers for the church because we share in the same and equal status before God through Jesus. And because of that, we can and we should wear the clothing that is fit for and pleasing to God. In being chosen, Paul reminds us that through Jesus, God has called us as a people unto himself. We belong to God. Amen? We belong to God. In being set apart and holy, Paul is rehearsing our position in the world. We've been called out of the world, and we've been set apart into the church. We are one body. with a great command, the command to love God and love neighbor. Caleb shared very clearly about that. In one way that we can do that, right up here this morning, we've been given this great command. It's a command that we share. We've been given the same great mission to go into all the world and make disciples. And we've been given the same great purpose to do it all for the glory of God. And so not only does Paul address the church as chosen and holy, but I think what's also incredible in this text is that he wants us as a congregation to know that we are dearly loved by God. Now here we are on Mother's Day. What does that mean to know that we're truly loved? Joe shared it earlier. We've heard it shared multiple times. I shared a little bit at the beginning. Knowing that we're loved by our mothers, knowing that we're loved by our caregivers in this world, more importantly, knowing that we're loved by God, oh, that is a reality that is filled with great comfort, peace, and gratitude. If these things are true of the church, if we are chosen, if we are set apart, and we are dearly loved of God, then we should be clothed in the clothing that reflects this truth. Garments that reflect the character of the one who has brought us into this right relationship with God and the one through whom we have been saved. We know as a congregation, as a church, and as individual believers that the Holy Spirit has come in and he's renovated the spaces of our heart, making us ready for this wardrobe that God has prepared that's filled with bright, effective, and colorful clothes that accurately and compellingly reflect the inward transformation that's been done in our heart through Christ. This is not a checklist, like we said last week with the list that we read. It's not a comprehensive list of rules or regulation. This is no code. It's not some form that we have to fill out. These aren't sacred prayers or rituals. They're not new traditions, customs, or creeds. The follower of Jesus puts on the mind, the attitude, and the behaviors of Christ. The congregation seeking to be formed in the image of its Creator adorns the robes of its Creator. Church, simply put, as individuals and as the collective body of Christ, we are to look and sound more and more like Jesus, not like the world that we live in. So let's take a look. Look at verse 12, at some of these new articles of clothes. Again, verse 12, clothe yourself with a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Do these things sound just a bit countercultural to the things that we experience in our world almost on a daily basis? All of these words deal with the way that we treat ourselves and also the way we treat who we are as a person. A heart of mercy is the same as the word compassion. It's a sensitivity and a care for those who are suffering and in need. Kindness, intentionality, and thoughtfulness in our daily interactions with one another. Humility, thinking of others' needs as greater or more important than our own. To think lowly of ourselves, not in a self-depreciating way, putting ourselves down, fishing for compliments, that kind of, oh, I'm not very good at that. Oh, no, I'm not in a self-deprecating way. That's not what Paul's talking about, but rather in a way that genuinely communicates our constant and great need for Jesus and for the community of saints that he's placed us in. This isn't the false humility. Paul's described the false humility in chapter 2. This was the humility of the Pharisees and the religious leaders who loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That is not what Paul is looking for here. This is true humility. Paul then encourages us to put on gentleness instead of a harsh, bitter, critical spirit towards others and towards ourselves. That clothing is no longer fitted for healthy Christian community. And friends, I don't know about you, but this is a very counter-cultural piece of clothing, article of clothing today, this idea of gentleness. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times in a week that I feel like I come across content or a person who I would describe to you as truly being gentle in heart. This is not something that we see, that we hear, that we encounter on a regular basis in our world, in our culture. Maybe some of you do. It doesn't seem to be the norm of what I face every single day. I hear a lot more of angry spirits, critical spirits, harsh, bitter spirits towards all kinds of things. Sometimes towards one another, sometimes towards things that are going on in this world. Paul tells us to put on the clothing of gentleness. It's hard. Gentleness is hard in a culture that makes fun of or is quick to belittle what appears to be a soft and tender approach. How many of you have heard that as a put down before? He's too soft. Why don't we just change that word and just say he's too gentle? Right? Oh, he's not tough enough. He can't handle that. He needs to be tougher. Right? I mean, we hear these things. I hear these things. Maybe it's the world I inhabit. Maybe it's the sports world. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I'm not hearing a lot of people that are promoting and encouraging gentleness and a gentle spirit in our world. I don't know. Paul says it's something that the congregation and the individuals who are part of it should be adorned in. Attitudes, behaviors, spirit that communicates to the world that we are gentle people. And what follows gentleness? Let me ask you this. Have you ever met a gentle person who was impatient? I don't think I have. I thought about that earlier in the week as I was studying this, because the next word is patience. And I thought, have I ever met a gentle person that was impatient? They don't seem to go hand in hand, right? Gentleness and patience seem to go together. So when the world on the outside is looking in at the congregation gathered, the church, and the individuals who are part of it, what Paul is saying that the world should be seeing when they look at our Christian communities is compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Friends, that seems and feels to me to be very countercultural. Paul further develops this clothing of patience by describing the two accompanying garments that goes with us. We might describe these as forbearance and forgiveness. Look at verse 13. He says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If someone happens to have a complaint against anyone else, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also forgive others. You know what Mom used to say? You don't have to like them, but you do have to love them. I mean, think about the Christian community. The reality is, we're not going to all like each other all the time. I mean, most of us live in a home with other people. And if we're honest, sometimes the other people in our home rub us the wrong way. They may be a little hard to get along with from time to time. Brothers and sisters, can we say amen? Amen. Yeah, it's okay. No elbows, please. The reality is that we're all different. We're all unique. God has made us all as different types of people with very spectacular personality differences. And every once in a while, maybe even frequently, some personality styles are going to chafe against one another. We all have, every single one of us sitting here, if we're honest, has that one or two personality style that we just run from. I had a neighbor that when he saw me come out my front door, he couldn't get inside his house quick enough. He was introverted to the max. And I terrified him. Sheila laughs because she knows. She remembers, like, we would see him out on his ladder. This literally happened. He was out on his ladder one day. I said, I'm going out. I'm going to get him. He can't get down. I'm going to go get him. So I went out. I went out the front door. He turned and looked and saw me. I never saw a man come down the ladder so fast. And he was gone with just a quick, hey, back inside. I mean, I was that guy's personality chief. I don't think he liked me very much. It's all right. We're all going to have that. We're all going to have a few people that just, they're going to rub us the wrong way. But Paul describes this clothing of a patient community. And as it presents itself in our interactions with one another, we see the fruit of it in the way that we can bear with one another. And yes, that's the word he uses, bear with one another. Sometimes it really feels like a bear to do that. But Paul says this is what's going to happen when the community is committed to it, when Christ is alive and the Holy Spirit's living and active in and through us. We're going to learn how to love one another. He's going to teach us, even if we don't always get along with one another. Differences and all. Healthy Christian communities are able to put up with all types and not place the comfort of some above the need of others. This doesn't mean that we're always going out to picnic and dinners and getting together and hanging out all the time like best buddies. This is not ingenuine, all right? This is just being able to be with one another in love, knowing what we share together in Christ and being satisfied in that. It means that we don't hold grudges. We don't list personal or preferential grievances. We don't add up offenses against one another. Within the congregation, there's a spirit that's quick to forgive, to restore, to reconcile, to repair, and to move forward together for the glory of God in our shared pursuit of Christ. This illustration of clothing, putting off and putting on, it works so well because we recognize that as a church, we exist in spaces that are often cold and sometimes even hostile to the hope of Jesus. And so there is the right kind of clothing that we need to have on in the world that God has planned us in to be effective for His glory. Paul says, most of all, we're to put on love. Now, this isn't the only place in Paul's letters, this part of Colossians, not the only place where he encourages or endorses this idea of putting on clothing that clearly and compellingly reflects Jesus in our world. Some of us remember the teaching of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, he says, finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Clothe yourselves in what? The full armor of God. And as Paul explores all the different pieces of armor that we're to either put on or take up, we might recognize that there is one piece that's missing from that list. What don't we see? This is why these are not exhaustive lists. What's missing from this list? That is obvious. Love. Right? We don't see it. What does that mean? See, Paul says, I don't have to take up love. I don't have to put on love, right? No, that's not what he says. This is part of a broader letter, and in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's explored and encouraged and even further explained how the Christian community and individuals of the Christian community are to actually live in love. There's a little outline in front of you this morning. He unpacks this in chapter 5. Living in love moves us to walk in the light of Christ, filled with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, expressed in the sacrificial way we're broken and poured out in all of our relationships. And so when he turns to the armor of God, then he's already laid over the heart of every follower of Jesus this undergarment of love that is predominant within the Christian community. So hold on to all of this and click back with me to Colossians chapter 3. And look at verses 14 and 15 of Colossians 3. And to all these virtues, add love, which is the perfect bond. Let the peace of Christ be in control in your heart, for you were in fact called as one body to this peace, and be thankful. As Christ holds the church together through all ages, his favorite and his most effective bonding agent is love. And one of the clearest ways that the Christian congregation knows that it has put on love is if the peace of Christ reigns in our hearts. The peace of Christ in each and every one of our individual hearts is going to be what guides and directs and multiplies the collective actions of our congregation. So what is the peace of Christ, we might ask? What is that? What does it look like? Well, Paul describes it in other places. Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we've been declared righteous by faith, we have what? We have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin's hostility overcome by the blood of Jesus, peace with God through Jesus. Paul continues to develop this in Ephesians chapter 2, where he talks about how this peace has brought down the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile. So not only do we have peace with God through Christ, but we also have peace with one another through Christ. Then in John 14, we can look at Jesus' own teaching from his own mouth. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be distressed or lacking in courage. Abundant peace, peace that calms anxieties and endorses courage to live boldly in this world. Not superficial peace based on our feelings, but a peace that comes from God, applied liberally to individual believers with effects not only for our new and right relationship with God, but also with effect in how we get along with one another in our congregations and in our world. We can then begin to fathom how God's indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit is producing this peace as the fruit is produced within his communities. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, what? Peace. Right. And we begin to realize that this is a peace that comes from God. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Uncommon. Friends, this is uncommon. When the world looks at the church, not only should they see all of those characteristics that we talked about earlier and this bond of love that holds us all together, but we should also be a people who exude the peace of Christ. There's a lot of turmoil in the world. There's a lot of unrest in the world. There's a lot of things that seem unsettled. We should not be a people tossed to and fro by all of those things. There should be a peace that keeps us stable, a peace that surpasses all understanding, that holds us through the storms. It's the peace of Christ. Paul says, not only is this peace effective, but God uses this peace to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This peace is to spill out and overflow into every one of our daily relationships and interactions with one another. It's a peace that generates both within the congregation and the individual follower of Jesus tremendous gratitude. This peace produces thankfulness. And that's where Paul ends in verses 16 and 17, and be thankful. Our love gives way to peace. That peace gives way to gratitude. And church, what a beautiful, effective, and compelling image of Christ to reflect in a world that desperately needs to not only hear the gospel, but actually see the gospel lived out by the people of God. Look how Paul draws it all together in verses 16. And then we'll look at verse 17. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and exhorting one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, all with grace in your hearts to God. As God's word roots itself deeply in our congregations and Christian lives, wisdom overflows into all types of singing, all kinds of music, filled with joy and grace in our hearts. Friends, isn't this the kind of community that every person should want to be part of in this world? What a beautiful community we have to invite people to be part of. That gets me excited, friends. Because we go out in this world, we leave this building, we go to our jobs, we go to places where Jesus people don't name Jesus as Lord. Maybe people don't acknowledge Jesus as Savior, and things are hard, and they're cold, and they're angry, and they're hostile, and there's anxiety, and there's fighting, and all of these other things. And here we go, as the people of God, with this wardrobe on, into our communities, into our worlds, and we're saying to people who need to hear the hope of Jesus, there's a better way to live. Amen? There's a better way to live. There's a more hopeful wardrobe to put on, a more colorful, vibrant, purposeful way to exist in this world. And it's with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the community that we are, church. That's the community we are to be. It's the kind of community that we shouldn't be able to wait to go out and invite other people to come into, because we know in this kind of community, they're going to find the hope and the sustenance and the peace and the love and the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy that they need to make them right with God. Amen? That's Jesus in our lives, Jesus in our communities. That's the hope of the gospel that we have, the light of Christ that's in us, that we've been called to take into the world. We wear the robes of Christ in the world that he's planted us in, because those robes of Christ are accurately and beautifully demonstrating to the world the power and the hope of the gospel. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so Paul concludes in verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so we ask this question, seeking to magnify Christ in both our collective and individual lives, what's the clothing that we need to put on that would most accurately and compellingly reflect his character in the world? And we might say this in light of our text this morning, the clothing that best reflects our new life with Christ are the garments of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and forgiveness, and they're never to be worn without the all-important garment of love. And when congregations and individual followers of Jesus adorn these garments, we become seen as communities and individuals whose lives overflow with peace, wisdom, joy, grace, and gratitude. Friends, this is the beautiful and compelling and accurate reflection of Jesus that we can share with the world. As the team comes to lead us in our final song, let's pray. Lord, may this be so. Father, may this image of this wardrobe, the clothes, the robes of Christ, may it be true of our lives. May it be what we wear into our communities. Might we go into our places of employment, to our schools, into our communities, into our relationships with our family members that don't know you, and adorn ourselves in these robes so that others might see that we've been so radically transformed by the love of Jesus, and that it's so magnificently powerful in our lives that we can't help but live it and share it. Because, Lord, we know that your way is better. Your way is better. And that the ways of this world, Lord, they're not life-giving. They're not for the good of others, and they're certainly not for your glory. But the ways that you've given us, the ways that your Son has communicated to us, they are the things that bring you glory, the things that are for our good and for the good of others. Help us to be a people that share the good news of Jesus, not just with our words, but our actions as well, as you send us into all the spaces where you've planted us with purpose. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Before you go, a blessing from the scripture. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God has picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master has forgiven you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other and in step with one another. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good sense and sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives and words and actions, whatever you do, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. May you have a wonderful week in the Lord. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next time. Take care, everyone.